Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN. We've got the usual suspects here with you, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. We'll take a look back at last week and then get you ready for our week four picks coming up here in just a moment. Let's start off taking a look at those games from last week. We had three eight-man games, and Audubon went on the road to Exira EHK. Real good game. Exira EHK pulled out a 34-28 victory, and we all had the Spartans, so we all got that one correct. Cam went on the road to Glidden-Ralston and dropped one. It was the Glidden-Ralston picking up the 40-24 win. We all had Cam, so we all missed that one across the board. East Mills, 51-22 over Griswold. That was our broadcast game, and we all had the Wolverines picked, so we all got that one right. HSTW, an impressive road win, 48-27 over Westwood. We all picked that one correctly. ACGC went to overtime to beat Nottoway Valley, 14-8. We all had the Chargers. Also, it was Glenwood winning one at home, 14-13 over Kemper Catholic. That was a winner for everybody but Jim. He went out on a limb on that one, came crashing down.
One stinking point. Mm.
They did give him two at the very end of the game, though. It was Harlan at Carroll. Harlan picked up a 35-6 victory. They started off in a 6-0 hole and rallied off 35 points to get the win. And then it was Atlantic with a nice stand at the end of the game in overtime to win it 21-20 over Clarinda. As they stop them on that two-point conversion try, we all had the Trojans, so we all got that one correctly. So it was 7-1 weeks for Doug, Matt, and myself, a 6-2 week for Jim. So that brings our totals now for the season to 18-6 for both Matt and myself, 16-8 for Jim, and 15-9 for Doug. That's our overall standings here. And, of course, we did have that one other game. I guess I thought it was kind of a poor excuse for a football game, but Iowa picked up a 13-3 win over Iowa State, and that was a winner for both Matt and Jim. So they've got the tiebreaker, and Matt actually holds the ultimate tiebreaker because he had the lower point total at 48 points, and obviously nobody wanted to score any points.
Well, I think the rule should be now, because Matt and I both got the Iowa part right, I think we should go with the you and I-Iowa game this week to bring that tie.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. No, there's only one tiebreaker.
It's already determined
preseason.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Well, tiebreaker's been established.
Poor excuse for you. He wouldn't be saying that if Iowa State scored the 13
points. Well,
you got
two games behind me anyway, so you got your work cut out before we can discuss that.
I do.
That's true. Work to be done. All right, that's our results from last week. We'll get into our picks for this week in just a moment. Once again, thanks to Ag Business Associates and Nishna Valley Credit Union for bringing you Who's Going to Win each week. Back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
All right, let's start off here with our picks now for week number four, as we just have one eight-man game on the sheet here this week, and that is Glidden-Ralston going on the road at Exira EHK. Another good one for the Spartans. They've had a real good start to the season as far as their schedule is concerned, and this is another one now that matches up pretty interestingly. Matt, we're going to let you start because you won the tiebreaker, so...
All right, good call. Okay, well, I finally went with the Sparty of the Spartans last week, and so I'm glad I did. I was starting to take grief from a few of those crowd from up there, the Exira crowd was giving me some grief for not picking them the first 2 weeks. So I finally did last week, got a text, you know, Friday night, I hope you picked us, you know, from somebody up there. So so with that being said, I'm going to go with them again this week. battle of 2-3-0 teams. Both these teams have had some history in the past, especially regular season and then meeting in playoffs. They've had some battles. I like the fact that it's at home for the Spartans. They've been putting up some good numbers on the season. Petipierre, he's 62%, 700 yards, only throwing 2 interceptions to 9 touchdowns. So, and they've also been doing a nice job on the ground, a little bit of a balance in there, where I think you're going to see a big rushing game out of Glenn Ralston. They're going to try to keep the ball away from the Spartans. But I'm going to go with the Spartans.
All right. That's one for Exira EHK. Yeah, this is it turned into a much more interesting matchup than maybe we had thought at the start of the season. I wasn't sure what Glenn Ralston was going to bring to the table, but they've been playing really well. Grant Borkowski sounds like he's kind of the do-it-all player for Glenn Ralston. He's, of course, the quarterback. He's also their top rusher, and he's also their leading tackler with 23 tackles on the season. So they've done a good job of forcing turnovers as well. That's been a big part of their game, 11 turnovers forced on the season already for them. But I do like how the Spartans have played. They've been in some tough games already. They're a little bit more battle-tested, perhaps, here to this point. And they don't tend to turn the ball over a lot. Coach Peterson teams don't do that. So I'm going to go with the Spartans at home as well. But this is going to be another good one, I think. Jim.
All right, very good. Well, kind of what you guys said, it's kind of summed it all up. The note I had written down for Glenn Ralston is all in one basket. All their eggs are in one big Borkowski basket. He does the running. He does the throwing. A good dual threat quarterback, but, you know, and especially on defense, too. All it takes is one twisted ankle or something, and they're in a world of hurt. As Matt said, Petipierre has been very accurate behind center here this year. And I like the fact that they have somebody else running the football, too. Burmeister's given them a pretty good 1-2 punch there. I just think they have more to offer right now, and it's at home. And, yeah, battle-tested 3 weeks in, and they've played the meat of their schedule already. I like Exira EHK here in this one.
All right, another one for the Spartans. Doug.
So with Glenn Ralston coming off of taking down a pretty talented Cam team, I mean, that's an impressive win for them last week, and, 40-24, actually. But I think Exira EHK has had 3 impressive wins. You know, they beat Fremont Mills, Sydney, and then Audubon last week. So that and being at home, I'm going to take the Spartans.
All right, so we're going to go with the Spartans across the board in that undefeated battle. Moving on now to a Class A 1A matchup, as St. Albert will go on the road to take on Underwood. And I think this one has also become a little bit more interesting as the season has played out. St. Albert, surprisingly, dropped one last week there to Logan Magnolia. They looked like they were going to kind of bounce back there in week 2 and then dropped another close one there in week 3. Lance Wright's been pretty good at the quarterback spot for them, 348 yards, but hasn't really put up the end result. They haven't scored a lot of points, gotten it into the end zone when they've been able to move the ball. For Underwood, they've played a pretty tough schedule for the most part here so far. Nick Ravlin is thrown for 838 yards, and same story, not as many times into the end zone as they would have liked, I'm sure. Jalen Humphrey's a good receiver. But, it's just hard to imagine St. Albert taking another lump here. This is going to be an interesting game, I think, but I think St. Albert's going to get just enough done defensively to be able to win this one. So I'll go with the Falcons. Jim.
Not so fast. They both have played pretty good schedules so far this year, but I was disappointed with that loss to Logan Magnolia last week. My note here just said not good. On the other side, Underwood, they've got some pretty good size out there, too. They run some pretty big boys out there in their football program, and they've been moving the football. The defense has been pretty good. I'm going to take Underwood at home. I'm going to take the Eagles here in this one.
All right. It's one there for Underwood. Doug?
I think we referenced the St. Albert's rebuilding year really this year, plugging in a lot of new players into their lineup. I think if this game happened, and they've got good athletes there at St. Albert, of course. I think if this game happened a little bit later in the season, I'd probably be more inclined to take St. Albert because of the experience that they're going to have at that point in time. But I'm going to take Underwood Eagles.
All right, couple for the Eagles. Matt?
Well, kind of like you guys said, the inexperience of St. Albert right now. Spoke with somebody over the weekend that has seen their first couple of ball games, and that's exactly what they said. They kind of referenced it back to the group that just graduated last year when they were sophomores. You know, they're just going to take their lumps, and they're still learning, and size, and all those type of factors. So I think Underwood had a pretty impressive win last week, kind of got things rolling. It's at home for Underwood, so I'm going to leave you out there on the limb, Chris, and I'm going to go with the Underwood Eagles.
All right. So, I'll limb pick with St. Albert. That'll be okay.
That's like a Harlan limb pick.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Weird. No. So, that's our first two games on the sheet. We'll go ahead and take a time out and come back and get you into some more picks here in just a moment on who's going to win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Going to Win. Let's continue on. We've got a couple more, actually three more, Class A, 1A matchups for you here. And we'll start off now with this one. Southwest Valley goes on the road at Clarinda. And these teams have played some similar competition here so far. Jim?
Yeah, I struggled with this one when I was taking a look through there. Southwest Valley's put together a pretty good year so far. And my eyes just kept going back to William Shull. He's kind of hard to miss at 5'10 and 243 pounds. He's racked up about 200 yards rushing against Atlantic last week. The only time he didn't get in the end zone was the time he needed to. But, boy, Clarinda just has some nice size. They're just getting better and better, I think, each week as they move forward. I'm going to stick with the home team here. I'm really bothered by this one, but I'm going to go with Clarinda here at home.
All right, one for Clarinda. Doug?
Yeah, I wrote down for William Shull, Marshawn Lynch reference, beast mode. I mean, when he got ahead of steam against Atlantic and when they didn't get to him in the backfield, he was a tough boy to bring down. I mean, he was a big fella and, moves fairly well for the size that he is, too. You could tell a huge difference when he was out of the game for a short time with a little injury there. I mean, that game wouldn't have been close at all, I think, if he hadn't have been in there. He was able to control the ball, and it was tough to stop him. I wonder what happens if how dinged up he was from that. If it was cramp or if it was something more, I don't know. Southwest Valley hasn't lost yet. They haven't won very impressively. They've been tight ball games, averaging about a 5-point margin of victory, but. I'm gonna go with them on the road. Clarinda, if Shull would be a little bit dinged up or something, just see them taking it.
All right, so we mix it up here so far, Matt.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games that we kind of talked about earlier. Jim mentioned on paper when you first looked at our sheet, Southwest Valley 3-0, Clarinda 1-2. Which way are you gonna go on that? But then I think you start diving into things. Southwest Valley, two of their, well, like Doug said, they've all been close wins. 3 points, 11-point, 2-point wins, and two of their wins are teams that are 0-3. Whereas I think Clarinda's probably played a little a little bigger schedule so far coming into this. Shull, like we've said, has got some big numbers, 69 carries, 408 yards. Southwest Valley, they've done all theirs on the ground as well for the most part. They are a little more capable of throwing the ball than what Clarinda did. But, last week I was impressed with Clarinda. Those guys did their job, and they kind of contained Atlantic at certain points of the game and so on. So I think Shull, he's not going to run in to the biggest front in athleticism that I think even Atlantic had last week. So I think that's where the edge is going to be. So I'm going to go with Clarinda, the home team.
All right, so that's a couple there now for Clarinda. I mean, you look at, you know, of course, a comparative with the Red Oak, you know, situation. Southwest Valley was able to do that, but that was the first game of the season. They were able to knock them off. But, you know, Clarinda, their issue the first two games was they had players go down during the game that they lost. So that, you know, kind of changes your game plan a little bit, too. So makes it a little bit more difficult to recover. Obviously, they knew what they had coming into last week, and they executed pretty well there against Atlanta, giving them a really tough time and, you know, coming inches away from winning that game. So I think that gives Clarinda a lot of confidence, even though they didn't win that game last week, the way that they played. So I'm going to go ahead and go with them as well. The home field advantage also helps here, and I'll take the Cardinals. So we're going to leave Doug out there on a limb with Southwest Valley. All right, we've got another Class A, 1A matchup. This is Westwood coming off their loss to HSTW, going on the road to take on Missouri Valley. Doug, you get first look at this one.
Well, this is going to be a good battle. You know, both teams are 2-1. You know, it's certainly nicer to be 3-1 at the end of the day than 2-2. You know, I look at Westwood. One of their victories was against a pretty good Akron Westfield team to start out the season, won 7-6 in that game. I think both the running backs are going to be impressive. You know, Westwood's got my favorite running back name, at least of this year so far, is Braulio Munoz. So you like Braulio. I mean, that's a great name for a running back, of course, like we said last week. And, you know, he was able to put up 100 yards last week against HSTW, you know, who we think is pretty salty. So, but then Mo Valley counters with Nick Haynes. He's a stud wrestler, great football player. You know, he's got 450 yards on the ground so far this year. Based on the fact that the Big Reds are at home, I'm going to take them.
All right, so you're going to go with Missouri Valley. Started off, Matt.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, interesting game here. Last week, Mo Valley did a lot of their work on the ground in their victory over Riverside, 24-14. Haynes, 23 carries, 177 yards, and Duke Kyle, 18 carries, 113 yards. They've only, in the first three games, attempted 12 passes for 68 yards and two interceptions. So he's completed six, two interceptions, so he's 8 of 12. So, you know, he's hitting 75% in there. But just to the wrong guy. And similar, Westwood's going to be on the ground, too. They're not going to throw the ball a heck of a lot, so it's going to be a game that moves pretty quickly. I think, you know, Westwood Sloan, big victory over Akron Westfield, 7-6 the first week. Akron's a good ball club. That's their only loss in the season. A nice win the following week over Oakland, which is a comparable score for them. Riverside, 55-8. Valley only 24-14. Even though it's at home, I'm going to go with the Sloan of Westwood, the Rebels.
All right.
The Rebels.
One for the Rebels.
Rebels.
One
for the
Big Reds. All right. Yeah, you know, I guess Missouri Valley, a little bit of a tough team to figure out, you know, the way they started the season. They lose that opener at West Monona and then, you know, kind of surprised to turn heads a little bit by beating Logan Magnolia. And then, you know, much closer game maybe than you would have expected last week against Riverside. So it's been kind of up and down for them. Westwood, I think maybe the story of that last week is that they ran up against a team that had a lot of weapons in HSTW. You know, they were able to, as Doug mentioned, still put up some ground numbers there with Munoz. He got it done a little bit and got in the end zone a couple of times, and that certainly helped him get some points on the board, but, you know, tough to keep up with that Viking squad. So I think that's what made the difference there. I think even though they may not have as multiple of weapons as a team like that, they're still going to be able to get it done against Missouri Valley. So I'm going to take Westwood here on the road as well. Jim.
Okay, very good. Do I leave Doug out there or do I not leave Doug
It'd be
out
two
there?
Limbs in a row for me.
It would.
I'm sure that'll work out well.
But, you know, my notes here, though, kind of echoed what you said. I listed three keys to the game. Nick Haynes. He's a tough kid. He's just a tough kid. Like you said, he's a champion wrestler. He's a good running back. 5'11", 201. He's pounding some holes where they're not there. I think if Missouri Valley at home can maintain the football and control the tempo, I think they can win the ball game. So I'm going to go with Mo Valley here in this one at home. Not going to leave you out there.
Thank you.
All right, we split that one up. We've got another 1AA matchup, and it'll be the 1A team on the road in this one. IKM Manning goes on the road to East Sac County. And I guess Matt gets first look at this one.
Okay. I like the way IKM Manning's been playing so far the first three games. I don't have too many notes written down. On this one, I just think they're the better ball club, and so I'm going to pick the Wolves. That's all I have to say.
That's all you got to say about that. All right, so IKM Manning, and yeah, this the Wolves have played you know, a tough schedule here so far. They played some good teams, and Stephen Grimm, pretty good player. He's been able to get the ball rolling on the ground a little bit, and then he's also been just a beast for them on defense. 27 tackles, 6 for loss already this year, and that's kind of what they always hang their hat on. They're going to be that tough, hard-nosed team. It's going to make you work for every yard that you get out there. Esat County, you look at their schedule too. Their two losses have come to two really good teams in OABCIG and South Central Calhoun, so that's you know, nothing to sneeze at either. They've been able to do some things, mixing it up offensively here so far, but they have turned the ball over a little bit as well. So I think that's something that will help IKM Manning here. This is going to be a real tight one. This might turn into a defensive battle, but I'm going to go with IKM Manning as well, give them a slight edge. Jim.
Well, so far I've taken all the home teams. I think I'm going to continue that for the time being. Esat County, what stood out to me was their running back, Garrett Bruce. He's averaging 6 yards a carry, and he's on pace for about 1,500 yards this year if he keeps this up. I think they played a really tough schedule here so far. I'm not afraid of that 1-2 record. I've already taken a 1-2 team to pick up a win here this week, so I'm gonna go with Esat County.
All right. Doug?
Can we just pause the program for a second? I'm looking up something on QuickStat. We'll be back in 12 minutes. So Esat County, they both have played South Central Calhoun, right? Did you just
Correct.
Say that?
Yeah. Yep.
So
yep.
I just
yep.
saw, I haven't yep. gotten to the stat yet, but IKM Manning lost 38-0.
Correct.
What was Esat County score? Tell me.
Yes.
I don't know. I got it right here. Now I got it. I got it. Well, you know what? Very similar. 39-6.
Yep.
So I just like I don't know what I like now. I'm going to take the Wolves.
Okay.
IKM Manning.
That's very convincing.
Yeah.
As long as that score is going to be close, you go with IKM Manning. Yeah. All right.
I'm the fly radio.
Sorry, you guys are professionals. I'm an amateur.
Do we need the bear sitting over in the corner for us now to do our research for us?
Yeah.
What's the line on that bear?
Yeah, exactly. All right. We've got one more game to pick here before we take another pause, and this is a 2AA matchup as Shenandoah goes on the road to take on Riverside. And this is a... Well, I guess another one I think that's kind of interesting as the season has moved along. You look at Shenandoah, they are 0-3, but, you know, as the season's moved along a little bit, they have played some, you know, pretty good teams. Their losses are to Clarinda, AHSTW, and Trainer here so far. The problem is they really haven't been able to get any offense going at all either, so that hasn't boasted well for them. Riverside, I think you've seen maybe a little bit of a slow improvement. Coach Frain taking over the reins there for the Bulldogs. They kind of lost a tight one there against Tri-Center in week one, and they've gotten a little bit better. I think that score was impressive for them last week, being able to stay as, you know, tight as they did there with Missouri Valley. So, this is going to be a real tough one. This is a tough one to pick. I'm not real sure who I want to go with, but I'm going to say that the Bulldogs get over the hump and they get one at home. I'm going to take Riverside at home to pick up a victory. Jim.
Yeah, I didn't dive real deep into this one. No, it's going to shock you there, but I've been on a run of picking home teams, but it ends right here. I'm going with Shenandoah. Bigger school, they have more size. I just think they're going to wear down the Bulldogs and pick up their only win of the year.
All right.
So far.
It's one each way. Doug?
Yeah, you mentioned, Chris, the struggles that that Shenandoah's had creating any offense. You know, last few years they've had pretty good running game, had some talented running backs that have been able to churn out some yards on the ground. So Shenandoah's kind of turned a little bit more to passing. Unfortunately, they've got 4 interceptions for the year on that. But, you know, you look on the other side of the game or other side of the field, Riverside's struggling as well. They've got 7 interceptions passing between 2 different quarterbacks this year. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how the D-backs fare. I was ready to take the Mustangs, but you mentioned, I forgot, Coach Frain. And I just think, you know, that type of a coach can be a culture changer, you know. So I'm going to go with Riverside.
All right. Couple for the Bulldogs. Matt?
Interesting. Okay. Well, I look at Riverside and their schedule. They're 0-3 in their three games. You know, we talked about relying on one person in one of our earlier games, and Riverside kind of does the same with Val Andershine.
Andrew Shishin.
Andrew Shishin.
Yes.
Got it.
Val God bless you.
Thank you. he's the quarterback, 309 yards passing. The team has 188 yards rushing as a team through three games, and he has 112 of them. So I got to give the edge to Shenandoah. They've been able to run the ball even in their three losses. They've played some decent teams. They've got almost 400 yards rushing, almost 400 yards of passing as a team. So I think the production is there. This week they kind of match up, and like Jim said, Shenandoah wins, and quite possibly could be their only win, but yet to be seen. I think they'll at least get that first one this week.
All right, we're going to split that one up. We've got a couple more picks left on our sheet, and we'll do that when we come back here on Who's Going to Win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Welcome back to Who's Going to Win. A couple more games to take a look at here. We've got a 2A, 1A matchup here. Red Oak goes on the road to take on Trainer. Jim, what do you think?
Well, a couple of 2-1 teams. You know, Red Oak had that close loss to Southwest Valley. I thought their win over Clarinda was pretty impressive because I think Clarinda was, you know, was a pretty solid ball club. Trainer, that St. Albert loss, that kind of disappointed me there. So I'm going to go with Red Oak on the road here in this one. I think Tigers have enough to get this one done over in Trainer.
All right, it's one for the Tigers. Doug?
I don't know. I can't figure these littler schools out. You know, you got Lomas, St. Albert, Trainer. You know, they all kind of beat each other. I mean, I don't know. You know, beating St. Albert is usually good, but then somebody lost to St. Albert. Who was that? I don't know. I'm confused. One thing I look at with Red Oak is mentioned Beast Mode and William Scholl. Red Oak only gave up 70 yards to Beast Mode a couple weeks ago when they played him. So, you know, I think they were able to get to him in the backfield, slow him down a little bit, and control him a little bit. They also like to run the ball. The Red Oak Tigers got three running backs that have, or three players at least, that have, you know, several or a couple hundred yards at least rushing. So they'll definitely be able to run the ball, I think. You counter that with Trainer, who's got a running back who's averaging 9 yards per carry, which is a nice average. I'm going to go with Trainer.
All right. Split up so far, Matt?
Yeah. Like Doug said, Red Oak's done a nice job of with their running game with their three backs in there, McCunn and Maines and Bentley. You know, last week, those guys in their victory over Clark of Osceola, McCunn had 18 carries, Maines 20 carries, Bentley 16 carries. The quarterback had 2 carries, so they ran the ball 56 times last week. So it's just pounding it at you. And the quarterback was only 2-7 for 16 yards, so, you know, they're not going to throw the ball very much, and even when they do, they're not going to probably be effective. And the same kind of be said for Trainer over there. They've only completed 35% of their passes on the season for 200 yards, but they've done it on the ground. Yeah, this is definitely a tough one to call. You know, against Red Oak, kind of they had a kickoff against Clarinda that was returned for a touchdown that kind of sparked them in that second half, in their comeback win. They kind of kept it rolling last week. God, this is just a tough one to call. It is.
We can really pick it for you.
I know. I know.
I'm going to go.
I'm going to go.
I got a coin here somewhere. Hold on.
This is crazy, but I'm going to go with Red Oak, I think.
All right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I did it. I guess it's already done, isn't
it? It's already done.
You said it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Well, I'm with you. This is a tough one to figure out. All these teams, like Doug said, have kind of been, you know, beating each other in similar fashion, or a surprise here a week after you thought you knew what was going on. And yeah, there's a lot of teams I think that are kind of in that same range. But I kind of feel the same way. I think Red Oak has some confidence right now. That was a good win that they were able to pick up over Clarinda. They go on the road and win another good one by really running the ball up. Trainer's still. You know, last year you could tell that they were figuring things out. They were going to get there eventually. But I think, you know, they're still kind of working into that a little bit, trying to get that thing turned back around. So I'm going to give a slight edge here to Red Oak. This will be a tough one for them to win on the road, though. So it'll be interesting. We got one more on the sheet, and this will be our broadcast game here tonight as a 2A-3A matchup as Atlantic goes on the road to take on the Harlan Cyclones. And, Doug, you get first crack here at this one.
Well, quick answer is Harlan. hate to pick against the Trojans, but I am going to pick Harlan. I think Atlantic, you know, last week just were killing themselves in the first half, particularly with turnovers and or throughout the game with turnovers, and then the first half especially with penalties. And I guess I didn't go back and look at the game film of that. I don't know if some of those – there was some grumbling around me whether some of those, you know, false starts or whatever were maybe accurate or not. But regardless, they – I don't know how many penalties, seven maybe in the first half, Matt? I don't know.
Six penalties
in the first half. You know, I don't think Atlantic's really played an error-free ball game yet. I mean, the first game against Sadell, but, you know, they just need – I think the room for error or the margin for error for Atlantic is pretty small. And if they – you know, against a team especially like Harlan, you know, you have one – you go in there and thinking, hey, we're going to do it, and you have one little mistake, and it just kind of – the tide breaks loose. I think if Atlantic plays a error-free ball game, they can make it a ball game. But overall victory, I'm going to take Harlan.
All right, one for the Cyclones. Matt?
Yeah, I think kind of what Doug said there, they're going to take kind of that perfect game. Harlan, they're 2-1 on the season. They've done a lot of their damage, well, majority of their damage through the air. Mulligan in there is completing about 55% of his passes. For 748 yards, only thrown one interception and 11 touchdown passes. So running the ball, they're clear-cut rushers. The Schechinger kid back there, Alex Schechinger, 60 attempts for 265 yards. Their next leading rusher is the quarterback, Preston Mulligan, with 11 carries. Some of those could probably even be sacks. So, you know, it's clearly – they're giving the ball to Schechinger when they are running. So, and then they've just spread the ball around with their receivers out there. So secondary is going to have to be ready to go. I think if they can put some pressure on Mulligan in there up front and get the job done. But at the same time, Harlan's going to bring a lot of pressure from the outside. They've got quite the defense. You've got Jake McLaughlin, who is a commit to the University of Northern Iowa up there. You've got Jonathan Owens, who's a pretty decent back in there as well. The Beaker is going to be up front. So there's just going to be a lot of issues. I think the thing key for Lank to stay in it is when they do pass, they've got to get those quick outs and slants. And I think those will be there if they can just connect on them and kind of get that pressure off and make them drop into the passing lanes. And once you do that, then that kind of opens up maybe some of those run games. So we'll see, but I'm going to go with Harlan. You know, I think it's just the way it is.
Okay. Yeah, it's a couple there for the Cyclones. I'm going to take Harlan as well. I think that, you know, obviously they know what they're going to do defensively. They're going to come after Chase, try to keep him corralled and try to make him make quick decisions. And, you know, if Atlantic can, yeah, work maybe in some of that real short intermediate passing game, that would be something that could get them going offensively. But it's going to be tough against, you know, a really stout Harlan squad. And I think on the other side, Harlan definitely has the advantage being able to kind of be multiple with what they want to try to do out there. They can throw the ball well, both down the field and in that intermediate range. And Mulligan, I guess, from what Coach Blatt said, has been making really good decisions for them so far this year, and that shows up on the stats. So I think the Cyclones are a tough squad, and they'll get the win here. Jim.
I just question, why does Harlan get a mulligan?
It's true. I don't know.
They don't need one.
They don't need one. You know, the thing that with the playoff, the RPI setup they have now with the playoffs this year, the thing that benefits Atlantic, I guess, here is they got nothing to lose. I mean, you just go out and play. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, it's kind of like Clarinda last week. Okay, we didn't get the 2-point conversion. It sucks to lose, but it doesn't hurt us in the long run as far as playoffs go. So, I mean, Atlantic's got nothing to lose. They just go out and play free and easy and hope for the best, take some chances, do some things that maybe you wouldn't normally do if it was a conference or a district game. So there's that. The problem is it's Harlan. and Harlan's played a much more impressive schedule to this point. They've weathered through it pretty well. Probably could have beat SBL last week if things had gone the way they'd hoped. I just think Harlan's just a little bit too much right now for Atlantic. Although it's an interesting matchup. You got Mulligan, Mullinex. Mullinex, Mulligan. Mm. Do two Mullinexes trump a Mullinex? Or a Mulligan. Now I'm all confused.
Okay, now you're getting in Chris's head here because he's going to be trying to think keep those straight.
Yeah, yeah. How do you keep this straight? Yeah.
I got two Mulligans.
Better have a color coded sheet
here. And that trumps your Mulligan. So I don't know. We'll see.
It's hard enough when you get kids on the team that have the same name, on the same team. That makes it difficult, but. Yeah, so it should be interesting. We'll have it coming up for you here very shortly. Our pregame show getting underway here at 6:30 and then kickoff at 7 o'clock. As we bring you that one, Mike Smith will join me for the broadcast. Catch it here on the air, online, on the web app, and we'll also have the video feed rolling on through our Facebook page as well for you to watch. That's going to do it for week four of Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Have you found that dream home you've been looking for your whole life? And then when you went to get a loan, you were told you didn't have enough money saved for the down payment, and you thought your dream was over? This happened to me, until it was suggested to me to go visit the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic. The staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union were all extremely nice and helpful. They connected me with a lending institute they work closely with. The credit union stayed in contact with me throughout the process, and they were the ones that helped make my dream home come true. So the next time you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, or any kind of a loan, stop in and meet the friendly, helpful staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.